chapter number 51. It'll be a while before I get down to that, but I think that's where a lot of the reading will come from. So if we're going to go ahead and turn and be there, then if I don't say it now, I might forget. So we'll just go ahead and turn there now. But, you know, I was just thinking about how when they were singing those songs this evening, I love those songs. I mean, that just means something to me, you know, and the people singing it, that they mean something to me because I know they know what they're singing about, you know, and just thinking about these things and different times I've been up here, and you know, you go different places, you see different people, and everybody has different backgrounds, so to speak, and you know, there's just sometimes it's more intimidating maybe than others, but sometimes I feel like, what can I offer my own people here at Mount Lebanon? You know, I feel like little guy, you know, I mean, I really do, and I'm not just saying that, you know, I mean, you think about the example that's been laid out in front of us, and I'm so thankful for that, and I'm not just trying to build you up or anything like that, but I truly and sincerely, when I say I love you, I mean that, I love you. You know, going around different places and experiencing different things, it's a humbling situation, to say the least. In some ways, it's a blessing and it's a good thing, and in some ways, it can just about break your heart to see the different things that people are going through, the different things that churches find themselves in. But you know, after Preacher Wynn asked me to do this tonight, I just kept thinking. I just started praying. I try to pray early and often, and as I was praying, a word come to my mind. The word discern. Discern, discern. It just kept coming to my mind. And, you know, I just can't help but think about how important that word is. And tonight, that's what I want to preach on, is just discern, how to discern. You know, so many times, it's easy to go to somebody that may have been there and done that and ask them, well, what would you do in this situation? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's a good thing. You know, good, godly advice, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong with going to the Lord and saying, Lord, show me. Lord, I need your help. Lord, you show me. I need this discernment. I need some help. I need to see exactly what you'd like for me to do in certain situations. You know, it's one thing to see something coming and kind of try to be prepared for it. Different things in life, you know, may come and you might be able to kind of prepare for it. But these unseen things that you're not expecting, and you're expected to maybe act or know an answer pretty quick. You know, this thing of discernment is a really big thing. It's nothing to take lightly. It's not a simple thing. You know, when I started thinking about it, when I first got the thought on my heart, it's not a mind thing, it's a heart thing. And when I got it on my heart, I was thinking, Lord, there's not enough there. You know, that'll be over too quick. You know, it'll just be a few words and that'll be that. And the more I began to study, the more I found, Lord, this is going to be a few-part series. How can I get it all in just, you know, a short period of time? But I tell you, you know, I'm young. I'm new at preaching. You know, a couple of years, that might seem like a long time, but trust me, it sure don't feel like it in many, many different ways. But this thing of discernment, I believe this will help every single one of us here. I believe it's for every single person in this church. There's a lot of preachers in this church, a lot of young preachers, a lot of different missionaries, a lot of different missions that's going on, and how important discernment is. I found that out as soon as I was a parent. How quick it was like, well, Lord, what am I going to do? All these different questions, Daddy, can I this? Or all these different things. And then now as a preacher, people come to me, well, what do you think about this? And I don't always have an immediate answer. But discernment, discernment, how we need much more discernment. Discern, that means to separate by the eye or by the understanding, to distinguish, to see the difference between two or more things, to discriminate, to make the difference, to discover by the intellect, to distinguish, to have knowledge of, to judge. And you know, when I was reading that, all I could think about was that word discriminate. And then that word judge. Those are words that you know, society really wants us to take those things out of our vocabulary. They don't want us to use those things. In law enforcement, we go every year and we have these different training on how not to discriminate. Don't do those things. And, And all these people always talking about, don't judge me, judge, 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 all these different things, you know. But, you know, let me tell you, there's some things that we really need to discriminate. There's some things we need to judge. There's things we need to discern. Not everything's just okay. And I know who I'm talking to tonight, and I know that you know that. But, and young people, really pay attention to this. Everything's kind of going in this hazy direction. You know, I was thinking about this, and I don't understand it. But this really came to my mind, how everything wants to kind of just blend together. Just blend it all together. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand it. This metrosexual situation, I don't understand that. You know, instead of having male and female, everything's just kind of just blending together, even on those terms. And I don't understand that. I really don't. But, you know, understanding to discern and see these things and discriminate, you know, there's things are different. They're different for a reason. And we need to be able to discern that and think about that. And I was reading a book. When I started looking into this and thinking about it, I wanted to see some different things on discernment. And I found a book from Watchman Nee. And he is an Oriental fella. I don't have all of his biographical information or anything like that. But this book's entitled Spiritual Discernment. And it's a short little book, and I've not got all the way through it. And I got to this portion. It's probably just a couple of pages in this chapter, but it's called How to Discern. And I thought, well, that's a really good place for me to start. And as I was reading through this, and this was written, the different notes that I found so far was written around the 1940s, the late 40s, to give you an idea of what time period this author was writing this. But it's talking about spiritual discernment. And this is how it started out. It says, upon your having an impression in the spirit, it needs your mind to interpret or understand it. So you're talking about the spirit and the mind working together. The spirit and then the mind interpreting it. Otherwise, you have no way to help others. God's spirit of judgment or discernment in our spirit has a double use. And he gives two things. It says here, our spirit becomes usable. We are able to recognize another spirit. He's talking about the spirit within us. Once our spirit, once we get saved, we become a usable vessel. And after we become usable, then we can in turn help others so they can become usable. We can lead people to the Lord. And there's about five different things, and they won't go too long, I don't believe. There's a little bit of reading, but I really think it'll be a blessing to you. Number one, the prayer for discernment. And it's no surprise probably that I'm going to read this scripture here, but it's Solomon's prayer for wisdom. It's 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. I just want to read that one verse. It says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? You know, when I read this, I could kind of understand what he was saying to a small degree. You know, the thoughts of becoming a pastor, that's a much bigger thing than I'd ever dreamed. You know, when I first started preaching, it was about preaching. And I'm not saying it's not now, but there's a big difference in just preaching and also preaching and pastoring. There's a big difference there. I mean, you have to have discernment. I can already tell that there's a lot of different things that I've faced early that I never thought that I would face, or I never saw it coming. You know, when you kind of get used to a certain flow to things and you step outside of that, you start seeing there's a whole different world. There's a whole different atmosphere out there that you just really didn't understood existed, maybe even in the church, the world maybe, but you just don't maybe see it that way. And the more I look at it, I kept thinking, well, how would I deal this? How would I handle this situation? How would I deal with this if I was faced with it? And so many things, I mean, as it continues on, the only thing that keeps coming back is discernment. Now, you can ask somebody, there's nothing wrong with that, but there comes a point in time, you as a Christian needs to know. I'm not expecting you to know everything. I mean, I'm not saying that at all, but we need to know as individuals, not just pastors or preachers. As an individual, I want to know what God expects from me. And right here, that's the prayer for discernment. After that, the second point, that's just the quick one there. The second one, it says, for our ability to know the Spirit in another person does not come from books nor from the experiences of older saints, but from our personal dealings before God. It may be that you sense something moving in another spirit and feel uneasy about it, yet you fail to know why it is so. This is because the spiritual judgment you may have acquired thus far is inadequate. But if you have been dealt with by God in such conditions sufficiently, you will then be able to pinpoint the cause, touch another spirit, and the ability to tell why are two different things. You need both to pinpoint or point out the sin committed and assess the cause of the trouble. Number two, the pointing out of sin. That's a big one. That is a big one. The further I go, the bigger I see how big that is. When I read this and saw this and was thinking about it and really praying, this past Sunday school lesson came to my mind, Joshua chapter number 7. This with Achan. You know, there was something that wasn't right. And it didn't take long for Joshua to find that out. Something's not right, but I don't really know what it is yet. You know, we were supposed to be victorious. Everything was supposed to be okay, but something is not right. And then all it came down to that point, well, let's get the tribes together and let's start seeing where the breakdown is. Let's see if we can't pinpoint what this trouble is. And it says, and I don't have it all memorized, but it was talking about how they went man by man. That's a very personal thing. That's a very absolute and a very direct thing. This isn't just like, well, we'll just pray for God's will and see what happens. No, let's get down to the very heart of the matter and let's see exactly what's going on, because we need to pinpoint this and we need to do something about it. Pinpoint. Point out sin. The more I think about that in my life, I mean, it's just, you know, if you don't have that joy and that spirit that you think you should have, you need to seek that out. You know, I've been in different services and I've seen it breaking loose and I've wanted to be in on it. But for some reason, I just didn't feel like I could just get in on it. You know, and I at the time, immediately, it's like, well, maybe, you know, it's just something else. But no, why? We need to think why. We need to pinpoint this. Because we all can have this continually. There's no reason why there shouldn't be continual fellowship. We'll get more into that a little bit later or as we go through. But why? Why is that? Why is there that breakdown? It says here, if God has thoroughly judged me and disciplined me, then I have learned before Him that such and such a spirit is an expression of self-love, pride, or jealousy. That's the examples He gives. And so as soon as a person shows self-love or pride, I know the cause or the case and am able to judge. We need a workable spirit by which to diagnose another spirit. Our learning should therefore be broad in that we ourselves need to be widely judged. And I when I first read that, you know, I was reading, I was thinking, yeah, I do want to be a help to a lot of people. But what are you talking about this experience here? Are you talking about going out and experiencing all these sins so I can better help somebody? That was my first thought. I didn't understand what he was saying. And as I continued to read Romans chapter number 6, 1 and 2, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? This here, when I read this and really started taking it to heart, this is talking about dealing thoroughly with our own sin. What we already have in there. Not going out and experiencing anything else, but taking care of everything that's in there. Everything that's in there. Not just the obvious, but maybe the not so obvious. Dig in there and see what's in there and what needs to come out. This thing about talking about having revival and these different things, it's there. But are we where we need to be? God's the same. He doesn't change. He's the same forever. We are the breakdown, not Him. Is there something in there that needs to come out? You know, and it's easy to think about recent history, or you think about your entire life. What's wrong with just saying, Lord, I want to start from day one and let's go through this. Search my heart. Let's do this right. Let's go all the way through this. And I've got some verses for this here. Psalm, one thing I want to read before I get to that point. The more dealings we receive before God, the more discernments we will have. Oftentimes we can indeed recognize people's faults, yet we cannot help because our own dealings are not thorough enough. You know, it is easier to look at somebody else a lot of times and say, well, this is their problem. Why don't they just get this out of the way and just get on down the road with it? It just seems easier when you're looking at somebody else's life. But look on the inside. What's your problem? I mean, if you're not coming to church and shouting, is that a problem? Is that a problem? I mean, why do we come here? You know, I mean, it's been a while since I've just seen it absolutely just break out. Now, why is that? What's going on the inside? You know, I've heard different people was saying about this, you know, and I heard it last night, I guess, at church, and it was a prayer from a pastor saying that how he would love to see more concern from the people that normally maybe not show emotion. He's talking about those that where you wouldn't really expect it from. There might be a few that's kind of expected. But if we could really get a grasp of what this is about, we're talking about being in the presence of the Lord. Being in His presence. There's a lot of shouting in there. Right here, Psalms. This is my third point here. The preparing for discernment. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that's a Psalm of David. Search me, O God, instead of me looking at my neighbor and say, well, we probably have revival if this one or that one would get right. No, not search my neighbor, search me. What's inside of me that needs to come? That is a humbling situation. It's one thing to kind of go to somebody, a friend or something, and you kind of, you can tell them to a point of what you want them to know. You don't want them to have a different feeling or thought about you, but you feel like you need to get a few things off your chest, so you go and confide in a friend and say, well, let me tell you, you know, I ain't perfect, and I've kind of messed up here and there. And then they kind of do the same thing. But boy, I tell you, there's a limit to that. There's a limit to where that stops, because you nor your friend want you to think as bad of you as you do yourself. That sin that's down in there that people don't want to talk about. This right here, when you lay your heart open, search me, O God, and know my heart, that leaves it all open. There's no closed doors to the Lord. Search my heart, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever sincerely done that? And just say, this ain't going to be a 5-minute prayer. We're just going to take as much time as it needs right here. And just lay out and say, Lord, show me. Show me. I want to get in before we leave. I want to get in before this is over. Before you come back, before I die, before whatever happens, I want to get in and mean business. Lord, search my heart and show me where I'm wrong so I can make it right and be right and do what you'd have me to do. If you have learned deeply with respect to the lesson of pride, you will instantly detect the rise in yourself of any tiny self-satisfaction or self-glory and know at once that you want people to pay attention to you. Your pride draws people's notice and you are well satisfied with yourself. He's talking about pride here. He's talking about being able to quickly discern whatever it is that you're facing. And you know, when I was reading this and thinking about it, you know, there's been times that I was getting ready to say something. And literally this has happened. I was getting ready to say it and I accidentally bit my tongue. Not on purpose. But it was that split second. Well, maybe you don't need to say that. Maybe you don't need to say that. Maybe that's not appropriate. Maybe that's not the way you need to do this. And it gives you that split second of thinking. Should I? Shouldn't I? Should I? Shouldn't I? That's what he's talking about. Split-second discernment. He's talking about something quick. These different thoughts that come into your mind. You know, the mind is an amazing thing. And he talks about how important the mind is. If you start down the wrong path with your mind, it ain't long till you're way off in the middle of nowhere. You ain't a bit of good to you or nobody else. It's just, you can't study, you can't pray. Your mind is so important. It is so important to keep it in line with your spirit. Not letting these thoughts, not letting these little things pull you away, but to stay focused and concentrate. Say, Lord, I don't want to go down that road. I need to be on this road focusing on you. And if I start thinking about the ball game or start thinking about something else, I'm going to miss out on what you really want for me. I mean, it usually starts out a little thing. I'm not talking about something big. Something little, and then next thing you know, you're not even thinking about praying or studying or anything else. You're thinking about something. That's what the devil wants you to do. He don't want your mind on this kind of thing. He don't want you to discern. He's the number one fighter of discernment. Think about it. It's like he's preaching and teaching on Wednesday nights about the different Bibles and these confusions. He's trying to take that discernment out. One's as good as another. Don't worry about it. Just, hey, if it says Holy Bible, take it. He don't want you to think and discern. He just wants you to go with what looks right and then see where you end up. We have to know what we're talking about. Spiritual insight is different from simply picking out faults in yourself. And I thought about that when I was looking at that. You know, well, Lord, I've done this, and yeah, I shouldn't have done that, and boy, I wish I hadn't done that. You know, it's more than that. It goes a lot deeper than that. You must not just sense it, you must also be able to explain it. How much sin the church allows to remain depends on the measure of sin you permit in your own life. Let me read that again. How much sin the church allows to remain depends on what measure of sin you permit in your own life. Should the most hidden sins in you be judged, you have learned deeply. I think this fellow's talking from pretty good experience. Who makes up the church? Every single one of us as individuals. What sin are you allowing into your life? And allowing to stay there? Because that's the sin that's allowed into the church. That's the sin that comes into church every day, every time we meet. Think about it. You know, these little things that might say, well, Lord, I ain't perfect, and I know I ain't perfect. You know, so if I just keep a few of these little sins right here and don't talk about it, it'll be okay. Because nobody else in here is perfect either. Let them cast the first stone at me. That's kind of the mentality. That's the mentality that the New Age movement wants you to have. That's not the mentality that the Lord wants you to have. That's not the mentality that David had when he said, search me. He wanted to get it out. He didn't want to hide it, harbor it, and carry it around. He wanted to get it out and be done with it. He wanted it gone. Number four, the profit of discernment. And this here, he's talking about weeping, and I thought it was kind of interesting that he kind of threw this in here. And, you know, when I was reading, I was thinking, this really don't go along with it, but the more I read it, the more I got out of it. It says, in the case of weeping, it is because of self-love, because of pain, or because of being broken by God. Why? Why are you weeping? And weeping's not just crying. Weeping is an agonizing call, a cry out. It's not just, I'm crying because I'm happy even. Weeping is an agonizing thing. That's something that you're agonizing over, an outcry. And it says here, weeping is a sign of weakness. We weep because we are beaten. Some people do not know how to weep. This is due to their lack of feeling. And I read this here, and I was thinking about how important it is. You know, when we really, truly do have a burden, there will be some tears behind it. There will be some emotion behind it. I was thinking back to when my dad was getting ready to whip me, and I knew it was coming. I could turn on the tears faster than anybody I know. It's fake. Now, it wasn't weeping. It was tears. There's a difference. And you know, I thought if I start crying real hard, he won't whip me as hard. And plus, I can get Mom on my side, and you know, she'll try to take him apart, so I don't get this whipping as bad as I think it's coming. So, you know, it can be turned on easily. It can be turned off easily. But we're talking about, oh Lord, search out my heart. We've already opened up. We've already passed that point. We're to a serious burden here. Psalm 126, 5 and 6, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This right here is really good. And I tell you, it's amazing when I read this here. You don't see it everywhere, I don't guess. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I've definitely seen it more prominent in other places. I've seen it, and I look at it, and I think about this. The most difficult group of Christians is that of those who have never been poured from vessel to vessel. They have never submitted, have never bowed down, have never been softened. Everything which happens has to gratify their hearts. They cannot endure the tiniest frustration. You therefore know that such people have received little grace. And he goes on to say here, and hence you cannot commit any church affairs to them. I think he was talking to pastors and preachers or pastors when he said this here. And it says, the cross has not worked in their lives. Bad temper in them is due to either pride or self-love. Nevertheless, if you yourself receive dealings in such areas, you will be able to deal with them with spiritual discernment. If he's talking about preachers or people that's dealt with these people or dealt with situations like this and know how to deal with it. But that's something I want to focus on more so is this up here. It says, the most difficult group of Christians is that of those who have never been poured from vessel to vessel. That really hit home with me. You know, Preacher Wynn, he was talking about that the other day, about the leaky vessel. You know, Brother Robert mentioned that. There's a lot to that. There's a lot to a leaky vessel. That old beat up vessel that you was in before you got saved, it just won't hold up. I'll tell you, it will not hold up. Don't put any confidence in it, because it will not hold up. I promise you. You know, a lot of people think, well, if I could just do better, I'll be all right. There ain't no do better. It's all in Him. That vessel's a leaky vessel. It's a beat up vessel. And you know, I think about this a lot, and people say that, you know, I've heard different statistics about X amount of numbers in the church today aren't saved. All these different things, you know, people say, but I don't know about that, and I wouldn't even put a number on it. But I will say this, I believe there's a lot of people, even saved people, Christians, that have yet to pour over in that other vessel, that have yet to give their lives fully and wholly and just say, you know what, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care how hard this is going to be, Lord, I'm yours. I tap out. I quit. I can't do it my way. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me eternal life. I want to do it your way now, not this old way. You know, a lot of people do. They get saved, and how good that is. That's the number one thing you need to do in your life. But it goes on after that. It continues. A lot of people sometimes seemingly they don't decide to get over into that new vessel, that humble themselves and bow down and say, Lord, I give. A lot of people don't do that. Lord, thank you for saving me. I'll go back to my seat now. I've seen it. I'm not being hard-hearted. I've just seen it. Matter of fact, I lived it for a few years. I understand where I'm coming from. There's a difference in being saved and being surrendered. It's not a new concept, but I have talked to people about it, and they've looked at me like, What's he mean by that? What's he mean by that? Well, the day I got saved, I surrendered. Really? Are you sure? You might have got saved, but did you really give your life to Christ? Are you bearing fruit now? Are you in the fight? Psalm 51. And I want to read this whole chapter. Psalm 51. And I know, and I'm sure, I know this is a common thing. I'm sure many, if not everybody here, has read this. But this is something that has to be. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Now, let me stop right there for a minute. There's a lot of, this is something here, if you read over it fast, you can miss it, but you can't miss it if you're going to get where you need to be. I acknowledge my transgressions. That has to be. That has to be out of there. You have to deal with that. It has to be dealt with. Just like Achan, it has to be dealt with. You can't overstep that. That might seem elementary, but let me tell you, there's a lot of people that overstep that or try to overstep it. They're not getting anywhere, but they try to overstep it. If you want this, you have to follow this. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that my bones which thou hast that thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. There's a whole lot in that chapter. There's a whole lot in there. You know, that should be our prayer daily. You know, I die daily. That's how you die daily. That's how you can do it. You know, have you ever done that? Have you ever taken it that far and said, Lord, this is my prayer? This is, for me, I want to be the most I can be for you. I want you to use me the most you can use me. Lord, will you do these things? It has to be that way. It has to. You know, I mean, people can go around and have a form and a fashion, but I want the power. I want the power. I want the real thing. I do, and I know this church does. I want the real thing. That's what's going to carry us through. I mean, you know, when you look at different places, they've got their confidence in different things. I want the power of God in this church and all my life, in my family. That's the only thing worth having. I mean, I'm serious. And you can tell by the way he wrote this, he was serious about it. A person with much discipline but little learning is a hard person. He is unable to yield. He has dealings, but no lessons learned. Much discipline, yet no good results. But if much discipline is coupled with a tender spirit, you should expect to see much result. And I'll stop right there with that thought. You know, I've seen a lot of people that I love, people I'd love nothing more than to see absolutely get right with the Lord. But it just seems like they're in this continual trap. It's just like the Lord has given you opportunity after opportunity, and there's been chastisement, and that chastisement's been pushed away, and it's been held in anger. It's not been like a learning experience. It's been pushed back and, well, the Lord's against me and the church is against me. I'm the victim. And it's seemingly they never seem to learn these lessons that the Lord put them through. That, what can you do for a person like that? We pray for them, but that breaks my heart. I'll be honest with you. It breaks my heart. People I love and care about seemingly can't get out of that cycle. Goes on to say, yet strangely, the spirit is still poor. The probable reason is that people despise things spiritual. Furthermore, if the spirit is tender and there is not the belittlement of the spiritual things and yet there is still the lack of fruit, then this, you realize, is the lack of the supply of God's word. If everything has been given to them, if everything's been given there, and they're not accepting the Word of God as the Word of God, it's not going to bring forth that change. And you think, well, that's who wouldn't want the Lord? Who wouldn't want the Lord in their life? Who doesn't accept the Word of God? Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, there is a group out there that just won't listen. They won't have it. And I don't understand it. I mean, I just don't understand it. It seems like they just don't come to that point of understanding. Hey, maybe the Lord's trying to tell me something. Not out of anger, but out of love. You know, the Lord chastises His own. It might hurt, but thank God you're one of His own. Number five, the power of discernment. To be useful in discernment requires that, A, you know how to use your spirit. And B, you know how to help others. There has to become this learning of trusting. You have to learn how to trust the Lord. You have to learn how to use your spirit. You know, this isn't about being... the way this is written comes across a lot of how to deal with other people. But I'm more interested in how to deal with me. That's the way I'm looking at it tonight. How do I need to deal with me? Because until me is right, then I can't do anything for anybody else. How to use your spirit, and then how to help others. It says here, we need to recognize the source from where things come. Otherwise, we shall be deceived. We have to understand where this comes from. And as I was thinking about this is I was led to the scripture, Philippians 3:10. It says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. The power of His resurrection. That's the very power that you and I have tonight. This flesh that we fight with and struggle with, that's our only power over it. That's when Jesus died on the cross, He beat the flesh. He lived it. And when He laid His flesh down, He beat it. He did it. And we have to claim that power. For us to have victory, we have to claim it that way. This discernment, when these things come up in our mind, should I, shouldn't I, we need to stop right then and there and stop it. And say, but I want to. No, you don't want to. The flesh wants to, but the spiritual man don't want to. That's the discernment. That's distinguishing it, discriminating, that's judging it. That's stopping it before it happens. And then giving it over to Jesus, say, Jesus, I can't do it. Would you help me with this? I can't beat this in myself. I need you to do it for me. That's true discernment. That's the true power of His resurrection. He did it. He did it for us. You know, we can have this power right now, and the power is staying in His presence. And I'm closing with this. Just the way I wrote this out, just to kind of sum things up, and the way I see it here. Discernment comes from spending time in the presence of the Lord, in your prayer life, your study life. What He says in His Word. That's where you're going to gain your discernment. Not only that, but staying right in there with Him. You know, I used to think that going before the presence of the Lord was something that you did just like a temporary basis. And most every single one of us do it on a temporary basis because we don't do like we're supposed to stay within there. But you know, I believe with all my... Why did the Lord build the tabernacle? That I may dwell among my people. He wants to be among His people. They don't have to be this broken presence. You know, it's not like you go to church and you go for a couple hours and then you leave. Well, I'm out of the presence now. No. Continually, we want to stay in His presence. Have you ever thought about that? Wake up in the morning and say, you know what? Lord, I want to stay in Your presence all day long. All day long. Whatever it is I have to do to get out of my life, I still want to stay in Your presence. You see, if we want this discernment, we're going to have to spend time with it. I don't want little discernment. I want a lot. That means I have to spend a lot of time in His presence. There's a lot of things you have to get out to continually stay there. But He wants us there. It's not you come and worship and leave. This is any time, all the time, if we will do it. Discernment comes from spending time in the presence of the Lord. Spending time in the presence of the Lord comes after true repentance and living in His Word. Have you ever just focused on staying in His presence? Through the atonement of Jesus Christ, we can live in the presence of the Lord. This is the power of His resurrection. You know, one day we're going to go to heaven and we're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. There's not going to be any break. Once you're with Him, you're with Him forever. That's continual. Once you're with Him, you're there. I'm talking about right now before He returns or before we go to meet Him. I want to stay in His presence. That's where our power, that's where our strength, that's where everything's going to come from. But you know what? You're going to have to drop a lot of pride. The flesh is going to have to lose. The flesh cannot go before it. It won't work. You can't carry that with you. That's why that sin, you can't keep that in your pocket. That's why you have to drop it to get into His presence. And once you're in His presence, that's when you can seek after discernment. He'll give it to us. It's in His Word. It's in His presence. It's in His power. But how bad do we want it? That's the question I'll leave with you tonight. You know, the two hardest things I find usually with the message is the beginning and the ending of it. And I always pray that the Lord would open up, and I pray that He'd close. And I trust that what He does in between is His will. But I want us to think about that as a church. You know, different people, different places have started out right and maybe didn't end right. Why? Where was the breakdown? But think about what we allow in our own personal lives. Is that something that you would like to allow in the church? I want to see us have the power of God on us. I want to stay in His presence. I've been in good services and I've been in not so good services, but I tell you, there is nothing like staying in His presence or being in His presence. That's where we want to stay. That's where we want to stay.